It's been pushed.
All right, all right, all right.
Welcome to the Southside Sox Estrogen Power Hour.
Hey, we have a song now.
That's our theme song.
Brought to you by Casio.
It is. Casio. Bought it off eBay.
Fantastic. Ah. I love the stickers.
I got to keep track of the keys because I don't know them.
I don't think I would too. I don't think I would too. But anyway,
I didn't know they had actual like names on a piano. I thought it was just the sound. I'm tone deaf, so I don't know anything.
I don't know real music, but they have like, I have like children's letters on this because I'm not smart at music.
Musical alphabet, which I keep getting confused with like DNA sequence.
The regular alphabet?
It's like A-G-C-T, A-G-C-T. But no, that's like the human genome, not music.
Are you sequencing genomes now, Janice? Like,
are you a scientist?
Yeah.
A library scientist.
What the fuck? Way to hold out on us.
A mad.
I could have been going to you for medical advice.
I probably would not do that. Most of my medical advice would just usually involve, just telling you to rub some dirt in it or I don't know.
Old-fashioned way.
I don't know. I don't want to say pull yourself up by the bootstraps. That's
it. Yeah, boo.
Cut it off.
Pretty bad.
We'll edit that out.
I'm so sorry that I was too drunk to join you ladies for the last Estrogen Power Hour. I promise that I am not as drunk. So
please introduce yourself, even though everybody.
Yeah, we all did it last time. It's your turn now.
Oh, shit. Okay. hi, I'm Janice. I'm one half of the Northside Sox podcast. Dang, what else do I do? I hit dingers. I don't really.
She did.
I'm a writer at Southside Sox. I contribute occasionally. I mostly do work on NBC Sports Edge, just giving you all of your fantasy baseball info. So
thank you.
All those, you're very welcome. All of the blurbs on players, that is all me. Or sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's not me. So I had to cover the Cubs and Padres game yesterday. I covered also the Pirates and Royals game yesterday. That was a
barn burner.
Yeah,
the Pirates and the Royals, woo!
The Brewers and Tigers, that was a slugfest, man. Like everyone hit a home run. Like all three of you hit home runs yesterday in the Brewers Pirates games. Like, you might not know it, but y'all homered.
finally
did it. Congratulations, Keelan.
Thank you.
I didn't even homer when I played softball. That's pretty amazing for me.
Yeah, totally. I know you hit a home run. You didn't know it. Eric Lauer's ERA is just astronomical right now. It's definitely up there. That's essentially what I do. I've contributed to Baseball Prospectus. I've contributed to, what else? That's pretty much it.
Janice is here to make us legit.
Thank you, Janice.
No.
I'm just everyone's, I guess, like semi-drunken auntie right now. I'm just over here, just with my wine glass full of this Chip Lips lager.
I'm always impressed by people who have wine glasses because I'm like, that's pointless. I'll just drink it out of the bottle.
Coffee mug.
Yeah. I mean, really. Apparently we had a bunny sighting in our front yard. Oh, a baby.
And tonight's guest... a bunny.
Yeah, the bunny in Colleen's front yard, because I do not live in the suburbs. I actually live in a forest preserve.
That's cool. Remember the one. Congratulations.
Let's ask the bunny what its opinion of Jake Lamb is. What does the bunny feel Jake Lamb's purpose is on the White Sox?
I imagine the bunny will not have nice things to say about Jake Lamb on the White Sox.
Is this the bunny really speaking? Are you like a proxy?
I'm the bunny whisperer.
Can your translation be trusted?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I was good at Spanish, but I forgot it all because I don't use it. I can swear though, so yay me. I'm sorry about my dog. She's demanding attention.
I thought it was a bunny.
Well, it is. I think the toy was a bunny at some point, but she pulled some of the legs off.
Mm. It's a good dog.
RIP to the bunny. The bunny is no longer with us. Colleen's dog killed the bunny.
Way to go, Comiskey.
No opinions about J. Clam.
Yeah. Comiskey has no opinions about J. Clam. She is preparing for her future in the outfield by letting tennis balls hit her in the face.
Mm.
So, not great.
Can Comiskey play right field? Asking for a friend.
Well, I mean, anybody can play right field.
Anybody
can play right field.
Have we played in right field? In the MLB? No. Any of us?
Oh. No. Anybody can play right field, though.
That's I got it.
They put the duds in Little League. They put them in right field.
Dud zone. I saw somebody today on the internet that's full of facts say that playing right field isn't that different than playing left field. Can I gather your opinions on that?
Yes, they are different.
I'm going to say different just mainly because left field is not right field. So that is,
yes,
my scientific opinion right there.
Also,
fair and accurate.
If we want to do the whole like professional baseball opinion-y type thing, technically I think more hits go to left field than to right field. So left fielders have to be marginally better than right fielders.
That's
why all the duds go in right field. Sorry, Adam Eaton, you're a dud. I don't like you.
Are you sorry? Because I'm not.
No.
Yeah. That is true, which brings me to the point is sort of like, why has Eloy Jimenez been in left field? I don't understand why he's ever played left field.
I don't understand that either. Like, he has no, and I love Eloy, I really do, but he has no sense of like where the wall is.
He's definitely a general lack of self-awareness, I think. I feel as if Eloy really needs to get in tune with his own body.
He's kind of like a newborn baby deer trying to run. Or like, have you seen the newborn giraffes at the zoo?
Yeah.
Just kind of legs like fall over.
Yeah, definitely kind of going into baby giraffe territory there. Just mainly because, just as a rough comparison, I mean, your main Mercedes, I feel as if has much more like bodily awareness on the base paths than like Eloy has in left field. Your main knows his limits. Like, he definitely knows what he's capable of. And he knows he has limitations. Yeah. Eloy does not. So I know that's a rough comparison. I mean, Yermin did play left field for like one game last year during spring summer training, summer camp.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And he made a pretty excellent catch too. He dove to catch a ball and he made the catch successfully. Which leads me to, Yermin playing a defensive position. At the same time, kind of makes me cringe, but at the same time, it's like, not being a defensive player has pretty much kept him from called up and like making the major leagues.
Well, and it puts him kind of like at risk too at some point, I guess, to be bye-bye when he's worth enough, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, like, I think we talked about this last time, is like there's certain positions that are kind of plug and play, and like a catcher is not one of them. But there's a reason that a lot of like former catchers become first basemen, because there's like not a lot of movement that goes into it. Like, you really just step on the base and catch the ball and do some other, you know, functional things, but it's not like having to have the same mechanics as like being a third baseman or a shortstop or any of that. So maybe he could, I mean, we're kind of rich in first baseman right now, which is how we ended up with Andrew Vaughn in left field.
Right. He's been fantastic in left field, by the way. I think that's been a really pleasant surprise from the season that Vaughn has not sucked in left field and just has further cemented that Eloy Jimenez cannot return to left field under any circumstances.
Like, yeah, but I still see people trying to like argue that. And I'm like, is that really a good idea? Have we not learned? Ugh. And it's okay to, like, that's the one good thing that I'll continuously bring up is I am surprised at how many people have kind of like been able to step up and step into the occasion. Like a few months ago, we were like, oh shit. And now it's like, yep. Okay, we're going. So it is like when people start returning from injuries, who is gone.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Really. But I kind of am falling on the side of like, I think Larry's going to be the one who's gone because ultimately, like, everyone else is kind of proven their worth a little better. And just because we're affectionate towards him for being on the team the longest doesn't mean he automatically gets to stick around.
Right, right, right. So he is the longest tenured member of the White Sox, next to Tim Anderson. But yeah, all the people who are saying that Billy Hamilton should go are wrong. They could just sit there in their wrongness.
Yeah,
wrong. Other than that, once Eloy and Luis Robert come back, it's all, Leori is certainly, I mean, I've gone on the record before saying that I'm totally over Leori, and then he gets some sort of clutch, like two out, a hit, and just knocks some runs in, so he'll totally make me foolish after this podcast. Like,
it's okay. Well, and like, Tony keeps putting him in these positions where, like, they're high-pressure situations, and he's not performing. Like, stop fucking having him pinch hit. He can't do it! You know, like, these are not situations he should be in because he's not a power hitter. Right. I don't know what the fuck he's doing at the plate half the time. Like, I think we've talked about it before. Like, he finds himself in these, like, positions where it's, like, two outs, and everybody's on, and runners in scoring positions, and he strikes out. It's like,
yeah, he doesn't do
shit. How do you keep ending up here? Like, does someone have a fucking monkey paw? Like, what is going on?
Yes. That is the secret.
All of the above.
Everything you just said is correct.
Just in the game the other day, so Tony decided to opt for Leori, just mainly because he really wanted a left-handed bat to go against Karinchak. And that did not go well at all.
No. And lefty righty's bullshit. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I have many controversial baseball opinions. One of them is that lefty righty is bullshit. It is an outdated metric that people rely way too heavily on. And I'm going to get yelled at a lot about it.
I mean,
bitey calling time.
You can make a strong argument over platoon splits, like, especially if you're trying to make a case for a player. Adam Engel, for instance, who's returning pretty soon. So, he's had seasons where he's had negative splits. He hits right-handed pitching and like incredibly well. I think it's really more so temporal. There are instances where lefty righty like does matter. There are instances where it really doesn't. But I'm with you there, Colleen. I feel as if, especially old school baseball relies a little too heavily on that, I think.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot more nuance to it than everyone thinks.
Yeah. It's a fun matchup to fall back on. It's like, oh, look, the White Sox hit left-handed pitchers really well.
It's comforting. Sometimes.
It's really cool. As a left-handed person, I personally take offense to it.
I'm sure my mom does too. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah, so it's just really awful on behalf of all Southpaws. I'm offended actually that the White Sox just hit lefties well.
And that's like the old school thing where they used to try and make everybody who was left-handed, they wanted to make you a pitcher because the thinking was being a lefty, you were going to be a better pitcher because it wasn't that common. It was harder to hit lefties. And, you know, that's not necessarily the case. Yeah. And that's why we see a lot of like switch hitters right now, because, you know, it was supposed to make you a better player, but then it doesn't actually matter. You're a good hitter. You're going to hit whoever.
It's
if
just
you're really a decent cool. hitter, you're going to hit whoever.
All right. It's only because it's really something different. That's the only, change it brings to it. So like when I was growing up playing Little League, they actually had me throw right-handed, which is child abuse, just mainly because there were no left-handed gloves available. So I had to throw right-handed.
Like scissors.
Yeah, precisely. So I had to adapt, which was complete and utter bullshit. But other than that, once you've got enough data, once you've got enough adjustment, guys are going to figure you out sooner or later. So, the handedness aspect of it just kind of gets lost in the wash, in my opinion.
I like that Janice is all like nice and professional about it. And I'm like, let me write this bullshit and it's dumb. Stop it.
Bunting 2.0.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm not kidding you. This weekend, my parents were over and we were watching the game. Somebody set up to bunt and I was like, bunting's so dumb. And my mom looks at me. She's like, why do you hate bunting so much? And my dad even was like, bunting's stupid. Nobody should do it anymore. I was like, ha ha. Here is a 65-year-old man who agrees with me.
That is pretty amazing.
I think he has to because of genetics, but still.
But he's older, so there you like. Yeah. He's not like old. He could go by the old school way of doing it.
Well, and my dad even like busts out. He's like, you know, there's data now that proves that you lose so many runs and blah blah blah.
I'm like, look at that!
Look at you.
He's like data. Yeah, exactly.
What do you think? Yes, on Fangraphs. I think they probably talked about it on Waddle and Sylvie and he heard it. Like that's really what it was.
Okay, so about this whole Waddle and Sylvie thing. So my head is so far up my ass that I was completely just unaware of what happened. Apparently they were thinking that the Cubs are basically the feel good story of the year. So
they said the Cubs were the better story.
What? No. I am highly biased, but no.
Full disclosure, I have not listened to it.
Entertain the idea that the Cubs are a good story, but a better story? I'm not so sure about that.
They're giving everybody away. They don't deserve to be doing well.
Yeah, especially after their big salary dump over the offseason, where they essentially just sent Yu Darvish over to Diego.
Without telling him first.
Mm-hmm. They didn't deserve Yu Darvish because that team fucking hated him. And the fans hated him. So they don't, and it's like the Chris Bryant philosophy. If you hate him, you don't get to have him.
Yeah.
You hate Chris Bryant, tough shit. You don't get to have him anymore. Yeah, he went to the Padres too.
I was also upset about on how I live in Evanston. Yu Darvish had a house in Evanston too, and not too far away from where I live, actually. So he built a fence to.
Oh my God, this fucking fence
for privacy reasons. And at first, I was like, why would you do that? Just mainly because back then I was dumb. But essentially, his neighbors complained about it, saying that the fence that he built essentially just lowered the value of their million-dollar properties. So I mean, like, if I was Yu Darvish, I definitely would have built a fucking house around, or built a fucking fence around my house too, just mainly because, I need that privacy. I need that sanity. So what
if you have an MLB pitcher living in your neighborhood?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I definitely don't want to be looking at Yu Darvish or looking into Yu Darvish's house on a daily basis. So, I was all for him building the fence. I was like, just protect your sanity, protect your mental health.
Well, and people that live in Evanston are assholes.
Janice.
Sorry, Janice. I feel like the homeowners of Evanston are just. I feel like a lot of the homeowners of Evanston are just like assholes about stuff.
Well, I'm not.
I want to.
I got you there.
I might be a homeowner there.
Be like, I want an apartment like any other scum of the earth. Okay.
But I feel like people in Evanston get like
hoity-toity and just really over their neighborhoods. I'm totally familiar.
They have reparations now, which was impressive.
That's different.
They do and they don't. So to go off on a brief tangent, reparations in Evanston are kind of bullshit in the sense that, all right, so there are like two dispensaries that are in Evanston right now. And so some of the taxes are supposed to go towards reparation. However, in order to be eligible for reparations, you have to prove that you have been racially discriminated against, which is like
in Evanston, that shouldn't be that hard.
Like, first of all, why would you have someone go through that? I mean, if someone, just assume that they've been discriminated against in some point in their lives. And also, too, in order to be eligible for reparations, you have to have lived in Evanston around the time redlining took place. But that's like 1960, 1965. So, that's a small portion of the population. And when you take into consideration how much money they have towards reparations, it's about roughly, it's about roughly $1 million. So if you take into consideration the amount of people who are eligible for reparations, it's a lot. So essentially each person is getting roughly like $500, less than that.
Woohoo!
Here you go.
Jeez.
So it's like every time I get an email about like there's been this settlement with Yahoo about selling data, you can sign up for the class action and get $5.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's like. So I would pump the brakes before we pat Evanston on the back for saying that reparations are a thing.
I feel like it was very PR-y.
Yeah.
Like, look what we did.
Yeah. Okay. It was definitely a move that was like, hey, just like, look at us, look what we did. And I mean, like maybe it's a step in the right direction, but it's not really good enough. It's not true reparations.
Yeah.
So. It feels very like Beverly-ish. Like that's some shit Beverly would do. They'd be like, look, reparations.
it's
can't have apartment building.
Here's a free butterball turkey.
Yeah.
Enjoy. It's very performative, and it kind of also deflects from the fact that there are no Black-owned dispensaries in Illinois, which definitely needs to change. So cannabis equity, like here I am on a podcast about the White Sox talking about cannabis equity.
It's cool. We can do what we want.
It's something that I feel very strongly about. So.
Yeah, especially considering like the people who have been imprisoned for any drug crimes, really.
Who have been incarcerated, you know, because of, you know, possession of marijuana and whatnot.
Or selling, since it's legal now. Like,
Precisely. So there's definitely plenty of work to be done in the future.
Yeah.
But anyway, y'all want to talk about the side problems?
We were talking about Waddle and Sylvie.
Oh, shit.
To get us back on track with baseball.
So,
although, wait, it doesn't matter.
Talk about Pride. Pride.
We can talk about Pride. Fuck Waddle
Pride
and Sylvie.
Pride is much better than Waddle and Sylvie weird drama.
Precisely. Yes. But anyway.
Socks in the basement got mad about it or something.
Right. Happy Pride to those who celebrate. I hope all of you celebrate. Like you should be celebrating, you know, even.
And to those who don't celebrate, go fuck yourself. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheers.
Cheers. Woo. So how cool was it to see Liam Hendricks as the face of White Sox Pride? It was pretty cool.
Man, right? I fucking love him. Oh my God. I can't, like, everything that comes out of, like, he's such a weirdo, first of all. And, like, I love him as a weirdo. Like,
he is weird, yeah.
But in such, like my wife, yeah, he's like the good kind of weirdo, not like the Trevor Bauer kind of weirdo, where it's like, we don't know where you were on January 6th. We know where Liam Hendricks was. But like when he told, like him telling Rick Hahn, like, I'm like a peacock. Like, all right, go weird Australian dude. I love you. And like him being the face of Pride is just so fun.
He's on
my wall.
Oh, is he?
Can I remove this briefly?
Yeah, Crystal, let me show you. Oh, the pen is
The pen is mighty.
I spent $10 on that just so I could put it on my wall because I'm
on the framer on the Sun Times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm both.
So essentially when we're talking about like diversity and inclusion. So in the post that the White Sox made, they essentially were talked about how diversity and inclusion were very important values to the White Sox. And as we've interacted and seen on Twitter, the White Sox and baseball in general do have a lot of gay, lesbian, bi, trans, queer, questioning and above the plus sign right there, fans. So having being friends with a lot of the LGBTQ plus community, a lot of them have told me that many a times they don't feel welcome in baseball stadiums, or they don't feel as if they're included. So what do you guys think in particular would help say MLB kind of make these fans a lot more comfortable?
So here's my feeling about stuff like Pride. And Pride being treated by like things like Major League Baseball, where there are no out players. There are no out players that are playing. There are no out coach. This isn't like the WNBA where everyone's like
everyone's gay.
Everyone's out and who fucking cares? You know, or like women's soccer. And I think that's a big problem across all of men's sports. But like it's great that they want to do stuff for Pride, but is it more than just like Liam Hendricks with a shirt saying love is love? Like,
yeah.
What are you guys doing? Are you donating to LGBTQA plus causes? Is it more than just like, we put some rainbows on shit, here you go, like buy it?
Right.
What are you guys actually doing? And I think like a lot of members of the community, they don't see themselves in baseball. And that's a problem across baseball in general. A lot of people don't see themselves there. But like, you can't suddenly start having Pride nights and expect people to, you know, get really excited about it and not think it's kind of performative.
It is.
Yeah. That's what I hate about the whole rainbow capitalism thing in general. I mean, all these brands are like, oh, buy this cool Dove soap with a rainbow on it. But like, what are you doing? Like, I was actually going through my Ulta catalog this month, and because it was like the June catalog, they had a whole page that was just, you know, all their Pride stuff, but it listed what companies were donating to where, which I was like, okay, you know what? I will actually buy from this place because they're donating to the Trevor Project. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't they have, you know, oh, of course, you have our ticket sales for Pride Night are going towards this place. Or oh,
I will say
that's going to Pride Night.
In terms of team, individual teams like the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants are actually good about stuff. You know, like the Oakland A's have been doing Pride Night for I don't even know how long, and a lot, and they'll like donate tickets to, you know, LGBT youth groups and the, you know, donate money and they'll do a little more than just put a rainbow on shit. Yeah. So, and I think the Giants this year I think they're doing a little more too. So it feels like they are actually trying in a way that a lot of other teams aren't, where they're just like, oh yeah, it's June, let's put rainbows on stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy to scroll through like LinkedIn or even, I mean, anything on Twitter, like any kind of corporate logo, and it's just like, it feels real skeevy, like you guys said, performative. Also, now you have me curious. I'm scrolling through the Braves Twitter to see if they put anything, because I wonder how something like that would go there. Just a huge fan base.
The Braves have enough problems right now.
Yes, they do. Oh, it feels like every episode
of Marcel Zuna stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think it's great that the White Sox are you know, saying something and promoting something, but that's really just lowest common denominator there. I mean,
the bar is a place in hell.
You know? Exactly. The bar is in hell. I thought it was really cool that Liam Hendricks was the face of White Sox Pride. I thought it was really cool that they put a graphic out there. However, I feel as if they really need to put their money where their mouth is. There are plenty of really fantastic organizations and charities in the Chicago area. So the Howard Brown Health Center, Brave Space Alliance, those people don't want to, you know, just slap a gender on everything, but
yep.
They've been doing really great work in the community. So yeah, I would love to see just to even break it out. I mean, not necessarily a Pride night, but also like say Trans Recognition Night, something like that.
Yeah.
Just mainly to make fans feel welcome. Just because, yeah, we've got a great community. And yeah, I really hate to exclude anyone or make anyone feel uncomfortable. Like
the Cubs don't even do it. Like
they don't.
Cubs are in the middle of Wrigleyville.
Yeah, they're Boys Town.
So walking parade is two blocks from your stadium. Can you
precisely? Yeah. They're walking distance from the Howard Brown Center, which is super important.
Yeah. But they're also owned by the Ricketts, so we may be asking a lot here, guys. Although, pre-Ricketts, they weren't doing anything.
Well, I mean, they did set up a vaccination clinic, so I guess.
Oh,
like,
that's so nice. Bless their hearts.
Are the players going to get vaccinated?
You what?
Are the players going to get vaccinated if
the clinic?
I don't think the Cubs reach their 85% threshold.
They're not. Last I knew, they have not met their 85% threshold, but that's what happens when you have a bunch of anti-vaxxers on your team and you're owned by Republicans.
It's Eric Sogard single-handedly setting them back, I think.
And Jake Arrieta.
So fucking stupid. Jake Arrieta.
Jake Arrieta probably.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about him.
I'll help you pack if you plan to.
Don't take medical advice from baseball players, guys. Just don't.
No, don't. Just don't. I think the White Sox were one of the first, right? Or at least like one of the earlier teams to hit 85%, right?
Yeah, they were at like 82%, like really quick.
Yeah.
And then I think they got to 85 not that long after.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. I do remember back in the day where they were announcing their vaccine PSA. And so they had the two players at the forefront that everyone like would know, like were pro vaccination, Lucas Giolito and Tim Anderson. Like, of course they're going to be pro vaccination. Like, but they actually have some sense.
Yeah. Lucas Giolito is not a dum-dum and neither is Tim Anderson.
You know, no, they are both very smart men.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my goodness. Oh, y'all want to talk about how John Heyman sucks now?
My goal now, Janice, since you got blocked by him, that is my new goal. My goal is to get blocked by John Heyman.
I'm trying. Not hard.
I'm not trying hard enough, but I need to get better about it.
Did he block you because of what you commented under?
Yeah, he did. He did. So do y'all want to hear the story about how that happened? Why did he even reply to you? Just block, like, no.
John, nobody cares what you have to think.
Yeah. I was in Seattle vacationing last week, and so I had some time to kill between when I was hanging out with my friend, Michael Lajedo. Shout out to Mikey. You're awesome if you're listening to this. Miss you beloved already.
Child.
Yeah, he's a beloved child. Love him so much. But yeah, so I was sitting in a tap room, a craft beer tap room in Seattle, and I'm two drinks in, and I see just John Heyman commenting on this ad hominem attack on Naomi Osaka, just calling, dismissing her as being, you know, some sort of spoiled brat because she wouldn't speak to the media. And so I just told him, like, yeah, this take sucks, and so do you.
Which is all true.
So yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you think he'd be used to hearing that by now, because I'm pretty sure people tell him he sucks on a pretty regular basis.
I definitely have.
No lies told. So he blocked me, but he replied to my tweet after he blocked me, which is sort of like what's the fucking point?
What a little wiener.
So
do you need to know what he said? Did you see what he said?
Someone screenshot his reply and said. So apparently he's like,
nice Ed Hominem. Like the most loving comeback. Yeah.
And I'm just like, isn't that literally what you were just doing?
Yes.
So
the thing is, he like quote retweeted that article from, what is that place?
Greg Chase.
Outkick.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Outkick, which is like
the fucking latrine of the internet.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is that? I was like, who are you like dropping these like fallacies on people, but then you're retweeting this garbage full of
You know what? Here's my favorite part about that. In his profile, So in his Twitter profile, you know, insider at MLB Sports, the score, fan of NU tennis curb. I'm like, you're not a fan of tennis if you're shitting on Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fire your ass into the sun.
Racist. Just a bunch of not only just thinly veiled misogyny, but thinly veiled racism too. And yeah. I don't even think thinly veiled is correct way. It was obvious racism, obvious sexism. Mainly because, if she were white, then she probably would have been granted the space that she had requested, if we're being perfectly honest.
Yeah.
The whole thing to me felt very much like Marshawn Lynch, I'm here so I don't get fined. Like, that is exactly what it reminded me of.
Yep.
Where Russell Wilson brings like the cutout of Marshawn Lynch. It's like, see, he's here. Because Marshawn Lynch very openly has an anxiety disorder and is like, I hate talking to the media. It makes it worse. It's very difficult for me. And people are fucking assholes about it.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that too, as far as like racism, the way they treat him about that is terrible. And he's like super self-aware enough to do that. And so smart and so funny. And it's very irritating to watch.
Well, and I love that tennis media is running around acting like they're the fucking bastions of sports reporting. Like, listen, do you really want to examine how you guys have treated minorities over the last few years? Because I'm pretty sure Serena Williams will have some thoughts.
Yeah.
About
all
y'all's bullshit. But they don't want to talk about it. It's just more fun to be like, Naomi Osaka is a spoiled brat because she made all this money. She should sacrifice herself on the altar of tennis reporting so we can ask her dumb questions like, how does it feel to lose?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's what pissed me off so much. I tweeted something out today. I don't even care to go back and look who it was that tweeted it. I don't care. But he was talking about how she basically doesn't deserve empathy or asking for help because she makes so much money. And I was like, who gives a shit how much she makes? She's a human. She's allowed to go through these emotions. She doesn't owe
you. Was that Piers Morgan? Because that sounds like Piers Morgan.
No, it wasn't. But he did
too. It was some, I forgot his name too. And I also don't even want to say it to give him attention, but he also had praised, I think it was two NBA athletes for also speaking out about their mental health that were men. Yeah. And it's like, everybody should be able to talk about it and everybody should be able to get the space they need. Definitely the language around it was way different.
It's shitty.
Yeah.
Well, and it all reeks of like when because the Royals are stupid, but like when Prince Harry and Meghan Markle did their whole interview and she talked about like, hey, all of this racist abuse I was taking made me want to kill myself, which is terrible. And instead of like examining themselves and saying, maybe this is really bad, the media was like, oh, she's lying. Look at all her giant castle in Montecito, which, by the way, given the option, I would live in California over London any fucking day of the week and twice on Sunday because the weather is nicer.
Precisely.
And the food's not disgusting. Sorry, London. It's terrible.
Meghan Markle's like, I won't be depressed about the, it'll be racist everywhere, but the weather at least will be better somewhere else.
At least I get privacy.
Bringing up the fact that Naomi Osaka has money is deflecting. Because that's completely irrelevant, I think, at this point. I mean, any other day I'd be like, eat the rich, whatever. But rich people get depression too.
He made it seem like she was just like asking for like monetary help. And I'm like, no, she's asking for you to, she's
just asking to fucking GoFundMe.
She wants respect and privacy during this time. She's not saying, oh my gosh, pay for my therapy.
Yeah. Well, wasn't she literally willing to take like the fine, take a fine for not attending?
Yeah, she paid the fine.
Yeah.
They fined her $15,000 before she withdrew because she still participated in like the first round of the Grand Slam tournaments and then she withdrew. And for not doing media interviews for those first rounds, they fined her $15,000. And she's like, here's my pocket change.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, it is. It is very similar, but different to Marshawn Lynch. The same kind of vibe.
I don't know if they fined Marshawn Lynch. They just, I think they just, did they?
I think, I think if he hadn't appeared.
Appearance by David.
He would have.
Hi, David.
Hello, David. He got fined one time. Is that what he said?
He did, yeah, he said they fined him at least once. And David then he made an appearance.
Showing up.
Something.
No, I'm hacking in the Bosch.
Oh, God.
Well, and it's a little weird.
No, there's a kill switch in.
But yeah.
It's a little weird that, like, I know, like, they're like contractually obligated, but also what a weird thing that it's like you have to talk to us, and then if you don't, you're gonna get mad. It's like
the bottom line is like
black. I'm mad, salty bitch.
It's just the fact that a lot of the times, like the a lot of these reporters think that there's some sort of obligation for players to speak to the media. So
yeah. And there's a weird ownership aspect of it too.
For sure.
Yep.
And that they're owed something, or that, you know, I mean, I feel like professional athletes in general, yes, they make a lot of money, but also it's a constantly amazing to me, even within our White Sox, like social media, how often you're like, these are people. They are very specialized, like amazingly talented, but they're people. They still have flaws. They still have bad days, bad weeks, bad feelings. Months. Because they still have feelings.
It goes back to me yesterday when people are like, oh my gosh, trade Jose Abreu. Like, what the hell was that? And I was like, it's okay.
Yeah.
That he's not a machine. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, you can have a bad day.
He's still an amazing person. And I mean, like, I am guilty for being like, oh, well, he kind of permissively popped up on like what have been like the third ball. But it's like, you know what? No one's perfect. No one's perfect. And I mean, like, he's human. Like, we're all human. Yep. And I think like we certainly need to put that into perspective when we're criticizing these players.
Yep. Well, and I don't like, and I think it's fair to criticize player performance and say like, you know what? You should have, like, when I said about Andrew Vaughn, I'm like, why the fuck didn't you take a pitch, dipshit? You know, like, why would you swing on 3-0 after they walked two people in a row? Like, that's just good sense. But, like, to sit and to criticize a player and to go after their family is where I have a problem with it. Like, when Lucas Giolito had a bad outing and people were tweeting at his dad, and the Mets players have seen it a lot this year, like, James McCann, so James McCann hasn't been having that good of a season for the Mets, which he's not doing terrible, but he was in kind of like a hitting slump and whatever. People were tweeting shit at his wife. Like, come on. That's no. Like, don't like yell at the player.
That's going to do.
Yeah. All it's going to do is piss them off and they'll probably delete their account. Like, congratulations, you drove someone off Twitter. Do you want a medal for being an asshole?
Like, what's Rick gonna do? Yell at Lucas? You better throw better. Yeah.
Listen, son,
or you're grounded. Like, what the fuck?
I'm gonna paddle you when you get home.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's totally weird. I think yesterday a lot of it was just more of kind of, I think, concern from our fan base. But even some of the people, how they talked about Yermin, it was like, you know, give the guy a chance. They're like, oh, he's over. He's done. And like,
no, he's a rookie. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
We're like, and I said this last year when we gave Aloy, and Janice was on the podcast with me when I said this, we gave Aloy a huge contract. And I said, I want it to work out, of course. However, the thing that I'm always concerned about is that people expect these rookies to perform right away. Like, there's no adjustment period, that they have to be Mike Trout came up, skipped the minor leagues, and was amazing because Mike Trout, I'm pretty sure, was built in some factory. Like, I don't have proof, but he was cloned from something because no one's that awesome on purpose. But we expect these rookies to be like Mike Trout, and we're expecting these rookies to have, like, to go 8 for 8 every game, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially not with Yermin right now, where, like, there's all the stuff, you know, a lot of factors. He's not hitting well. Yeah, he knows he's not hitting well. There's all of the drama with Tony. And, like, you can't act like none of that has an effect on him. And then, you know, he's just, like, he's probably just tired. Like, today was their first off day in, what, like, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I also
think, like, give the kid a break.
Yeah, it's a little dismissive to say that Tony didn't have at least some sort of role in Your Mean slumping. Yep. I had a bunch of dumbass dudes in my mention being like, oh, well, Your Mean needs to adapt, blah, 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 blah. So just doing some brief research on what the hell is wrong with Your Mean. So apparently he's having a really hard time hitting breaking balls. I believe he's hitting 219 off breaking pitches. So essentially, like that's the way he's been fooled. So I'm guessing that maybe pitchers are, you know, logging onto Baseball Savant and realizing that and throwing nothing but breaking shit at him. But other than that,
that's what scouting reports are for.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally what scouting reports are for. They're telling their pitchers, oh, throw a breaking ball to Your Mean. He's hitting 219 against it. Like,
But I think the timing too is a little too coincidental as well. Because as soon as Tony called him clueless, what else did he say about him? Just like really awful thing.
Yeah.
Like he basically he was a rookie. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah. He doesn't know any better. He's 28. Okay. So he's consistently well in pretty much every single level of minor league baseball.
Yeah.
And so just going to turn around because you're a Hall of Fame baseball person and call him like in clueless.
Yeah. So another thing, fucking shitty.
Like, yeah.
That shit makes me crazy.
Yeah. Is that okay? So when Your Mean goes up to arbitration, when it's time for him to get his big payday, okay, he's a 28-year-old rookie. He's like maybe lined up for maybe one big payday before, say, he's on the wrong side of 30. In arbitration hearings, they're going to care that he's hit like X amount of home runs. They're not going to care about how many runs that Willanz Astudillo has hit. So if you kind of look at the discrepancy there. So you've got this 28-year-old rookie from the Dominican Republic who's been grinding all his life. And then you have Tony La Russa, a Hall of Fame baseball person who already has all of this established wealth. There's this pretty strange, just not only economic disparity, but you've just also got this really strange, like, racial difference there.
Yeah. Well, and then when he comes and talks about Andrew Vaughn in a completely, like, shining example.
I was ready to burn the stadium down when he did that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's grinding and he's so smart. I'm like,
and he's been taking the back seat. I mean, he's had to take the back seat for a few years too. Like,
first of all, this whole time, 22, he just graduated college like last week.
Yeah,
he's been grinding his whole life. Fuck you. Okay, yeah. He didn't like. No, he like he's not 28 having a run around the minor leagues and the Dominican League and the independent leagues and try and get into Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's who I was talking about has been in the backseat, by the way. Not Andrew Vaughn.
I know. But like that shit from Tony made me nuts. I'm like, and all respect to Andrew Vaughn. I'm sure he's very nice and works very hard. He hasn't been grinding his whole life. His whole life is he's 22.
Yeah.
I have, you know, shirts older than him. Probably.
Not only that, he's 20.
I'm gonna go through my clothes.
He's young.
He's like 24. I don't know how old he is, but like.
I think he's like 20. You know, 22 or 23.
Yeah. He's young. He's white. He's probably able to, you know, have access to the ability to perform well all his life.
They get paid the same thing too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of knock on Andrew.
Those rookie contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a knock against him at all. I mean, I think he's fantastic, but just kind of the gaslighting there by Tony. Yeah. I think it's just a little much.
I will say I can talk about it because it's coming out tomorrow. I wrote an article for Southside Southside Fox about the Tony's like animal shelter thing and a lot of. There are a lot of similarities into how he treats people there to how he treats some of the players. A lot of the same, like, no, this wasn't a thing. But then people are like, even his own daughter is like, yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah, I think it's very telling that his daughter and his wife were both like, peace. I don't know if him and his wife are still married. Like, I don't know what the story there is, but yeah, I think
they are. I think they are, but
who knows with, you know, with anybody who knows. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's very telling that the two of them are like, nope, we don't want anything to do with this anymore. This is not what we wanted. This is not what the mission is.
Yeah.
And Tony's like, oh yeah, it's fine. Nothing is like, he's like that fucking cop in South Park. Nothing to see here. Everything's fine.
And yeah. And that's exactly what it's like. I mean, that is how he's handled the whole ARF situation. He like blamed the issues there on coronavirus because they laid off like a third of their staff. And he's like, yeah, it was because of the pandemic. And people have like written to him under his, that like seemingly random at the time post he did on Twitter. They've written like, no, this has been going on a lot longer. I worked for you like 5 years ago and this was going on then. And like a lot of weird stuff, but there's like definitely parallels into how he talks to and talks about the players and that. So I don't know.
I'm looking forward to reading this, Keelan. I think it'll be.
It's such a cute story of how they started ARF, and then I'm like,
right, yeah,
right. As an animal myself, I'm like, oh my god, yay, animal rescue! I'm all for that.
Yeah,
and then you just realize like all the details behind it and all of, you know, the weird racial undertones about how. Just one person kept making all these coded comments and it just
made I don't want to give the dogs to black people. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they wouldn't intake black cats, supposedly. That is something that somebody that used to work there said. So I don't know that, but that's like what somebody said. They wouldn't want to take in black cats.
Give me all of them.
Know. I think those are the like biggest amount of strays. They're usually black cats, but still like not taking them in. So, and I know a lot of people that love black cats. Colleen, many of our friends.
Hi, Archie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he's still watching the bunny.
Appearance on the pod.
Archie, come see. No, he's still watching the bunny.
Okay. Nice. I am madly allergic to cats. Otherwise, I would love to adopt a cat.
They are pretty solid.
I'm pretty sure Comiskey thought that he was a piece of her that fell off for a long period of time. And because, like, when we first got him, she just kind of followed him around. And I'm like, I think she's trying to like reabsorb him. Like, I think she thinks he's a part of her that just like fell off one day and is just here moving around. So, yeah. No, they're buns now.
Buddies. So next up on the docket, Calloway and Ozuna. Holy shit.
Bad, 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 bad.
I like your notes here, Keelan. This is bad, 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 bad,
bad, bad.
It took the Angels how fucking long to fire Calloway? Like, after
they should have fired his ass right away.
When the news came out, I was like, oh, did he do something else? I didn't even he did, but
I was like, oh look, more shit of him sending his dick to people. Yay. The Angels should have fired him a long time ago.
I mean, it just gets to the point where, I mean, if you're a woman that works in sports, like, not only do you have to worry about, you know, generally doing your job, but you also have to worry about just idiot men, just
perverts. Let's just call them perverts.
Yeah, perverts. You know, I mean, they're still idiot men, but they're all perverts. But
perverts.
And then they wonder when it comes to sports jobs, why women don't apply or why, say, they can't retain women. And this is exactly why.
I actually wonder. See, I don't think they're actually wondering that.
Yeah, they know.
I don't think anybody. Yeah, they know why women aren't applying and why women aren't staying. They don't fucking care. And like, it took Kim Ng how long to be a GM? Like, she's more qualified than Rick Hahn. To be a GM,
she was
more qualified 10 years ago than Rick. Like, also, like, it's not hard to be more qualified than Rick Hahn. All he had to do was go to Northwestern. Like, I'm going to Northwestern right now. Like, clearly, then I should be the GM of the White Sox.
You should, you know,
but like, I would like that personally.
I would be awesome. but
please, somebody hire her.
Like, women have to, and women in sports, we have to be better. Like, you have to have the better qualifications. You have to, you know, be XYZ or else you're not qualified or it's going to get questioned. And it's like the fact that Mickey Calloway stuck around for so long, like the Angels thought we were going to forget about it. That's really what I think happened. They were like, oh, people forget that he's here. And they didn't realize that every time people played the Angels, they're like, why is Mickey Calloway still employed?
Yeah, that seems to be like a really common thing. I mean, I know Crystal just went through this where she posted the thing about Chapman. And I mean, just, yeah, sure, that guy was a troll, but the outrage, like the things he said to you. Sorry, I'm not giving enough backstory. So for anybody listening, Crystal posted, it was something I also posted about.
It was the Yankees.
Their GM saying that people would forget that Chapman, what did he like?
The domestic abuser.
Yeah, but
he choked his girlfriend and then he fired a gun at her.
Yeah.
Into a wall.
Yeah, and that people would forget about that.
Public knowledge.
And nobody forgets.
Yeah,
people don't want to forget
that. Yeah, exactly.
They always want you to forget.
That's the first thing I think about. The first thing I think about when I see him. It's like, hey, that guy's a gun enthusiast who likes to shoot at his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Man, I get attacked. I was busy. I think I might have been doing stats or something for that game even. I don't know. I was busy doing something. Oh, no, I was writing the mascot article about Addy that will hopefully be out this week.
I'm so excited. I love mascot.
Yeah, but I was like busy doing something else, so I didn't even I tweeted it and then I just kind of put my phone down and I was like busy doing other things, and then I had my watch on still so I get notifications and it was just like going berserk on my wrist. So I opened it up and I didn't even see this guy's initial comment. I just saw everybody else attacking him. And
I saw purple. I was livid.
Well, I sent it to my husband. And I blocked the guy. It was just an immediate block. I was like, I'm not dealing with this. No, this is not happening. But I showed my husband, and he seriously picked his phone up to tweet something about four different times and threw it every single time. He ended up not doing it. I was like, don't worry. I'm pretty sure a lot of other people have my back right now in this. But he would pick it up and chuck it because he was just so pissed. He was like, you don't talk to people like that. You especially don't talk to my wife like that. But yeah, I mean, it's outrageous to think that people, especially women in sports or just fans of sports in general, are going to forget that you're a domestic abuser or that you send your dick pic to them or that you're constantly in their mentions challenging them on every single little thing they say.
I started blocking those guys and usually I'm more of a mute person. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to mute. Fuck it, I don't care. I'm just going to mute him. Now, you know what? I'm really sick of the reply guys in my mentions lately. If you're going to be an asshole to me, y'all are getting blocked. I'm done being mine. Fuck you. I don't have time for this.
No. I'm sorry that we might know more about this sport than you do. Get over your tiny dick energy and get out of my mentions, please.
I watch 200 baseball games a year. You don't know more than I do, weird reply guy. You really don't.
I had some dumbass mansplainer trying to tell me that Lucas Giolito was just a two-pitch pitcher. He actually
bless your little heart.
He's got he has a fastball. He has two changeups, a slider. So it's just dude, shut the fuck up. It seems as if whenever you put forth anything, it could just be, a rhetorical question and then men just that as an opportunity. A woman, just asked a question online. This is my opportunity to bestow some knowledge upon her. It's like, no, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I made a rhetorical statement the other day and it was something really dumb. Liam Hendricks is coming in twice in a
day. Yeah.
And it was obviously very sarcastic. And this guy was like, yeah, it worked really well in Boston. And I'm like, do you not know that I'm being sarcastic? I feel like it read that way. And then I responded. I was like, yeah, I feel like Tony doesn't use it. And he's like, oh, that was a rhetorical statement. I'm like, yeah, you fucking moron.
All right.
Let's go around the room. What is the dumbest thing you've had mansplained to you? I had someone mansplain what a minor league deal was. So when fucking Jonathan LaCroix was signed to the White Sox, I don't know what the hell I said, but I guess I was like, oh, wow. I hope he returns to the form he was when he was on the Brewers, because he was really fantastic, but not sure where he fits on in this White Sox team, because like we already have like 50 billion catchers. So I don't know what's going on here. And someone's like, oh, well, you know, it's a minor league deal. You know, they sign a guy, you know, who's been around the block to just
get tires. I'm remembering that in like,
which is already awful language, because you're talking about a baseball player like he's a fucking used car.
Yeah, I remember this, and I'm like remembering that guy, and I'm just, oh, God.
And so I guess like one of my other followers was just like, dude, you're being a mansplainer. And then like the guy was like, oh, well, I had no idea what I was doing. And then the person was like, dude, she's literally a member of the media. She knows what she's talking about. And I'm like, oh God, I hate men so much. Well, not all men, of course, but like the men that reply to me are just like the way that some men talk to me makes me want to die.
Yeah. And it sucks because it's like one bad apple.
Really.
I get super ragey.
Yeah.
Like instantly now, I'm not even like, oh, maybe this guy's trying to be nice. I'm like, listen here, you fucking dick face. I am going to claw your face off. Like yeah. I've gone from like, you know, normally I'm just like, yeah, okay, weirdo. And now I'm like, listen, fuck face. Bite you in an alley.
Yeah. That happened to me once. I don't remember the context, but somebody said something and I immediately was like, who the hell is this? And I sent it. I have a few people that I'll like bounce things off of if I'm like, I'm not sure if they're joking or not, or like I'm pissed off and I don't know what to say to this.
That's and, exactly what we do in our chat.
I also send things to Luke Bruhan Luke a lot, and I'm like, who is this? And that time I sent it to him and he was like, oh, that's actually like one of my good friends from school, and he was just joking. I was like, okay, well, that was a really weird way to joke. He was like, he's not like that in person, blah 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 blah. And it was one of those like, okay, but you have to understand that like how often like women get pelted with just nonsense, like I'm automatically sometimes just like de-escalated,
like,
but I was pissed.
I don't respond, and my response is usually pretty snarky, and like part of it's like I'm just like that, and I'll have, oh, I didn't mean it that way. Well, you know what, listen, dude, like guys send me pictures of their dick, okay? That's why I don't have my DMs open anymore, which my husband is really thrilled to have just found that out. But it's like, do you think that's going to be received well? Because,
yeah,
you not know how to talk to, like, do you live in your mom's basement and you don't know how to talk to people? Like, what is happening here?
I don't think, I mean, not, and it's not, definitely not all dudes, but.
Okay, not all men, not all men, but enough. Okay.
Yes. That's a blanket.
We're not doing this here.
Yeah. So, I will say, though, that I feel like the feeling of, like, not feeling safe, and even over the internet, like they don't get that sometimes. Yeah. And I showed you guys earlier today, a gross comment somebody said to me. And even though I'm like, fuck you, and I wanted to respond and say something back to him.
What the fuck? Yeah.
I just instead didn't say anything, but also like it made me feel violated. It's weird how that is, even though like irrationally I'm like, this is just some douchebag that wants attention. It still made me feel like very violated and like,
yeah,
maybe not like physically unsafe, although I could see for some people it would, but it just makes me feel like, yeah, I'm aware that there are some really fucking weird dudes out there.
Well, and I think that's how you and I, Kaylin, got kind of with each other, because I was noticing the same kind of creepy behavior from certain guys on Twitter. I'm not going to name names. That's a bitchy move. But you know, I messaged Kaylin that and I was like, what the fuck? Are you getting this too? Is this how, like, I've noticed these really weird interactions. Like, what's going on? And that, it just became a thing where like, we would just send each other tweets back and forth. Like, is this guy for real? What is going on? Did you see this? Is he being a creep to you? Like, do we need,
well, and I said no, because at the time I thought he was fine. And then we found out he was not okay.
No. And
okay. I was like, when I find that out, it's like, oh yeah, yeah. You're one of those.
Yeah. You just have to great, watch out for each other.
Yeah. It's always a realization when you realize that someone that you thought didn't suck actually sucks.
Yep.
That's always a sobering moment.
Yeah.
I like the amount of guys who've explained to me whenever I say ban the bunt or bunt sucks. Like, no, this is why the sacrifice bunt is good. I'm like, it's literally an out. It's a sacrifice bunt. It is literally an out.
Literally.
It's in the name.
You just don't understand
baseball.
Did you hear him?
Yes. Exactly.
I would like to point out that this gentleman over here, this guy that I married to, say hi. Well,
that Colin.
Say hi to Dick. Hi to Dick, our fan. This guy did not know about baseball that much before we started dating, and I have converted him. And now he is a wonderful fan who also brings snacks during the game.
Hey, you know what? It's really great when men can learn from us.
He's learned a lot.
It's a really fantastic thing when, I can teach a man about something. So
he will 100% admit to people. He's like, no, my wife knows more about baseball than I do. Like, you have to ask her.
My husband has admitted, because he doesn't really, I mean, he used to be a big baseball person, and he just has not followed it this year because he's just so pissed with Tony La Russa, which I get it. And he was pissed at Adam Eaton came back. So he's just like, I was supposed to enjoy this season, and now I only watch the games when
you were about baseball with me, but I did.
And he was like, I learn like White Sox updates from you, like when you write about them. Like, that's how I know what's happening. If you update me personally or you write about them, that's the only way I know about the White Sox this year.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Bill.
As one does. As one does.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yay.
I think, okay, I don't want to go about mansplaining forever, because we can. It would be easy to. But
we do a whole podcast about it.
We could.
It gives me time to aggregate all my.
A whole podcast of us reading our replies.
My God. Yeah, we should totally do a reply guy draft.
Okay.
We'll call it a mailbag. Estrogen Power Hour mailbag.
We should pick one a week
and
read it. I'm open to this.
I am totally open to it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten some pretty juicy ones lately. So
I think I saw...
Like Janice gets some doozies.
I think I saw somebody quote retweet you and say something about so much for misogyny or something like that. I don't remember what it was, but it was like, so
someone like, tweeted me about like, oh, is this what I'm supposed to do when I see a take that I don't agree with? And like, I saw the tweet that I wrote, and it was like a really lukewarm tweet about the City Connect jerseys. And I'm like, oh, I think I need to warm up to them. I mean, like, they could have been better, but they could have been a lot worse. And I'm like, dude, like, do you want attention from me this badly? Like, here you go. Here's the attention you ordered.
I did that to somebody recently.
You did?
It was like, it was a guy who didn't even follow me. I was like, okay, well, now I'm paying attention to you. The fuck do you want?
Oh my God. Or how about the weird guy that like tried to cancel Herb Lawrence for talking about
that guy was
Obama's backside from 4 fucking years ago?
Well, and it's not
and Herb made a good point.
Ass. It was a song.
And it still was a good point.
He did something to him. He stopped replying.
He did. I think he blocked me.
It's for the best. Like
I think so too. I guess the only person that was just really confused was Ruth, who commented about how it was awesome that Herb called out again John Heyman that piece of fecal matter for that Naomi Osaka take earlier. So yeah, it's also just really weird that that guy remembered a tweet from 4 years ago and inferably had it screenshot and saved to his phone. So not exactly
That's amazing that, like, first of all, that you can keep something in your phone that long and remember that it's there, because, like, listen, I got shit on my phone from a year ago that I was like, oh, I forgot I had that. But also, like, I'm really bad at, like, remembering why I hate certain players sometimes. Like, there are some that I remember why I hate you. Like, a certain big dumb asshole for the Dodgers. I know exactly why I hate him. But there's players like Joey Votto where I'm like, I hate you and I don't remember why. I'm like, fuck. I know I hate you. I don't remember what it is. So, like, that, I have to admire that guy's commitment to hating Herb for 4 straight years and for holding on to that tweet, because that is really more energy than I care to have about some guy on the internet.
Yeah. I'm just happy that we all jumped in and talked about Adam Engel's ass to shut him
up. I miss Adam. God,
I miss him. That ass will be back soon.
You guys have a line on how he did with Charlotte tonight. I know Ronaldo Lopez didn't do too well. But
R.I.P.
I'm really not looking forward to him coming back if it happens.
Because if once Adam Engel comes back, someone's got to go.
Who do you think it'll be?
Larry Garcia. Adam Eaton.
Colleen said Adam Eaton. Oh, so
I mean,
so
Adam Eaton. Adam Eaton. I want him to, but I don't. You know, it's going to be like the Nomar Garcia situation, except not as bad, where it's like, yeah, we're keeping, he's here, we paid for him.
We once had 3 Garcias and now we have none.
We have one.
What about Danny Mendick?
I want him to stay.
I kind of do too.
Just throwing names out, okay?
I kind of want him to stay, but I don't have a good reason why. Danny Mendick.
Gold glove finalist?
You don't know who that is.
It's okay if he acts like he's confident about it. He gets a pass.
Someone in my reply is like, oh yeah, what's Danny Mendick's slash line from 2019?
Yeah.
Bitch, what's your slash line from 2019? Fuck you.
Mine's 000 slash 000 slash 000.
In zero.
That crap makes me crazy when people do that.
Well, okay, yeah, and I mean that logic. Oh man, we're going off topics. That's okay. That logic with Yasmani Grandal is hilarious, because it's like you're trying to fit this instance into this thing and it's not working. And no wonder you're upset, because you're applying things that don't work places.
Look, it's on base.
But his batting average.
Yeah.
Gets on base.
Yeah.
If I see one more person talk about how they wasted so much money on Grandal, I don't even know. Like,
oh, please. They've wasted way more money on way worse guys.
Adam Eaton.
Yep. Carnacion.
Grandal is not even like the top 10 of that list. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, that is. That Shields. Is.
Adam Dunn. Can you hear David just yelling, oof?
I thought he was saying who, but well, yeah, like the money is, I mean, talking about that is, yeah, you could literally apply that to so many people. Mm-hmm. And then also, again, back to the point of these are humans, to think that it's not a risk to take somebody for 4 years for however 70 million, whatever it is he's making. It's like, that's a risk. That's like James. I mean, the same things with James McCann, Trevor Bauer. It's everywhere. Trevor Bauer is a huge risk.
Yeah, when I fire him into a volcano.
Levels.
Maybe to the federal government.
You guys, I was watching the Mets Diamondbacks game today, and it was on YouTube, which is like, ugh. Because then I get to miss the Keith, Gary, and Ron show. They were doing like, what was the biggest signing of 2021? And they were doing like all these random dumb YouTube polls. And I shit you not, one of the announcers said for the biggest get of 2021 on a list that included Francisco Lindor
was Bofa D's nuts.
He goes, Trevor Bauer. And I was like, this is why no one will ever take YouTube seriously as a media channel. This is why you don't get TV deals, because you have fucking chowderheads doing
chowderheads.
Your play by head.
Say chowderheads or chowderheads?
Yes. Chowderheads.
Bam, chowderheads.
Oh, okay.
Chowderheads.
So it's like when I misheard Mary as Barry. That really was confusing.
If Colleen was the GM, she could probably get me a sweet discount on my
burial
torso.
Here, corpse that we're going to embalm into the scout seats and then move around the stadium.
Just let Billy know how much he needs to pay up front when you're a GM.
Okay. He'll probably just have to pay for the embalming fluid. Like, I'm sure there's a guy that can do it for us.
Just let him know.
Yeah, you just like stick a tube up someone's. I don't know how it works. They get someone from the museum to explain it, and we'll like do it like a mummy.
They could just use one of the like food stands to be like a little funeral preparation area, like a body prep mortuary.
Dude, I'm pretty sure those food stands have never been cleaned, so there's some shit living in there all on their own.
Say that. I eat a lot of food there.
So do I. Like,
using one space for a few dead bodies is not going to be that big of a deal.
Listen, I eat a lot of food there too, and I've eaten a lot of questionable places. If I'm not dead yet, it's not happening.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
like, food's not gonna do me wrong.
Like, you're missing out. They just take a tube up your butthole and then they just suck all the organs out. That's pretty much what happens in the rules I just made up about how.
Yeah, they like put Faygo through your veins, maybe a little.
Yeah.
That preserves you, essentially.
So Heinz ketchup.
So you look fresh.
Well, if you're my grandmother who lived to her very late 90s, it was whiskey. Mm-hmm.
I have a guest. This is Hank.
Hank.
He heard we were talking about embalming, and he was like, yes, I'm here.
Dead stuff?
Hank is secretly an undertaker.
Are you the undertaker? He's like, I hate this. I want to leave.
Attention!
Okay, he'll stay. Okay. So, spoiler alert. I just saw Colleen's message. We forgot to do a commercial break again.
Ah,
all right. I have forgotten to take so many breaks with Northside Sox, and I just tell Brett like, hey, I'm really sorry. Like, we had such a fantastic conversation that we forgot to take a fucking break. But you're just gonna have to live with that.
Listen, Brett, deal with it.
He can wedge in a fucking commercial somewhere.
So yeah, he could throw in his Cialis commercial or whatever the hell it is, like just like any time. Then, all right, Keelan's got the background music there.
There we go.
But yeah. Anyway, this has been an Estrogen Power Hour where we just essentially talk shit with everything that is wrong with baseball. There's a lot of shit that's wrong with baseball, but
yeah. But we had topics this time.
We did. We did indeed have topics, and I somewhat stayed sober, so...
We sort of stayed on topic.
I'm gonna pat
we myself. Did. Good job, us.
Good job.
Episode two, where we follow a schedule-ish.
But essentially, John Heyman sucks.
Everybody.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Always.
Hail Satan.
Please stop.
Don't send me pictures of your dicks.
Yeah, please leave us alone.
We said hail Satan because we forgot that last time.
Yes, hail Satan. We will talk shit about you if you are in our replies with some dumbass bullshit. So
we're going to start mailbag next time.
Estrogen Power Hour mailbag. Yep. Listen, I got to start compiling some of my douchebag responses.
We should.
We want to keep the names included? A spreadsheet, yeah.
We can think about it. It depends on how egregious it is.
Precisely.
And that's if true. You're in our fan base, maybe.
Anyway, we are the ladies of Southside Sox. I'm Dennis.
Crystal.
I'm Colleen.
Keelan.
Woo! Go us.
Hank.
Hank. Hank the mascot.
An honorary lady of Southside Sox.
Oh, Hank. He doesn't have balls.
And David. Well, David's going to say goodbye.
And David.
Yeah. Hi, David.
That's my dad's name.
Oh, shit.
Nobody look that up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, maybe next week he'll talk about why he hates the Reds fake all-you-can-eat bar, because that was very popular.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.